Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday, do your daily practice. I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves. Albert Einstein. Today, pay special attention to how you're guided and supported by a friendly life. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Aloha, this is Laura.
Aloha, Laura. What are you seeing? Hi. How are you being guided by a friendly life?
Oh, my gosh. When I was recording yesterday about this assignment, there were just so many examples, even in one day, of how I'm being guided by a friendly life. And so even just as I was talking, I just felt lighter and lighter and happier, and that I was being held as being very precious.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And the thing that's so fascinating about that, because to me anyway, and I bet to you, ego wants us, because it's dualistic, it wants everything to be either or, right? So if you're precious, you have to be more precious. What mm-hmm. ego doesn't have any ability to conceptualize or get, or however we want to talk about it, is that everything can be equally precious. And it doesn't diminish precious.
Yes, yes, because as I was looking around and reviewing all the interactions I'd had with people yesterday, everyone and everything was precious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. And when we're living in that, our experience is one of delight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or, as you said, lighter and lighter and lighter.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to, like, my dog is sick again, and it has nothing to do with what's going on externally in that way, you know, that ego would say, oh, this is a terrible thing that's happening. It was just everyone held in preciousness.
Well, yes, and she is sick. But it doesn't mean she's less precious or less loved.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it right there. That's what we humans struggle over. But if we're precious, and then we have to be precious to someone, right, which would be God. And so if I'm precious to God, then I should never get sick or die or have any bad things happen to me. Because how can something be precious and be allowed to get sick or die? That doesn't make sense to ego.
Right, and but, as you lay that out, the thought, I mean, ego's framing of it is so ludicrous. That doesn't make sense.
No, it certainly doesn't. And we can certainly see how egocentric it is. So my teacher's way of talking about it was, you know, if we really didn't want things to die, then we would be up to our eyebrows in gnats, right? But what we're really saying is, no, I do want everything to die because, I mean, we've already struggling with human overpopulation, right? So, no, of course I'm all right with death. Not mine. Not those I love. Mm-hmm. Those need to be excluded from what is so in this plane of existence, which really points out how ludicrous it is, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And egocentric.
Yeah, exactly.
And what you, Laura, what you started us off with is the, the antidote, let's say, to that, which is, okay, we're all going to die. Everything is going to die. Everything that is born is going to die. So let's love. Because that's all we've got. Because that, you know, that little pup, in the best of all possible worlds, we can suspect is going to go before you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So ego would have us miss our opportunity to just love wholeheartedly because, well, but this and that and those circumstances, and that's not right and that's not fair and it shouldn't be that way, rather than, God, we have this moment. Let's just love with everything we've got.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh. And yeah, in the midst of all that, it's relaxing.
Yes, it is. Because as somebody pointed out yesterday, I guess it was yesterday on this show, there's nothing for us to do. We have no control. We're not in charge of anything, right? And so we might as well relax. And relaxing and loving, that's a pretty compelling combo.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Mahalo. Aloha.
Aloha.
Thanks, Laura. And it leads us so beautifully into today's assignment, right, Cherry, that we celebrate because we have that experience of being completely guided, completely loving, and completely relaxed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And yes, everything is going on.
Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. It most assuredly is. Well, that's a lot to love.
Yes. Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi. This is
Well,
Gail.
Hi there.
Hey, Gail. You surprised me.
You weren't expecting us, were you?
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Door?
What? Mm-hmm. I don't normally do cue practice because of the way my schedule is and stuff, but I made it since I broken my elbow. I've been doing cue practice and have not been called on at all this whole time.
Oh, well, I might as well not. Oh, hello.
Yeah, there you are.
At my door.
Yeah, there we are. So, yes, it's a very friendly universe. It's just amazing, all the support that's out there. And
said the woman with a broken elbow.
Oh, you know what? The elbow supports practice, and the practice supports the elbow.
Exactly so.
It was just, yeah, that's just amazing. So what I've been working with on this focus is accepting the weather.
Mm.
And specifically in northern Arizona, in the 41 years I've lived here, we've always gotten the summer monsoon rains, right? This year we didn't. And it was so dry. And the poor animals, you know, and the plants and everything. And so I noticed that I had a lot of suffering around this. And, I couldn't make it rain.
Yeah.
No matter what I did, I couldn't make it rain.
Yeah.
And so I've been working. And so that was what I was looking at accepting. And my daily practice has been, no matter what the weather is, I say, good morning, yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It's made all
different. And I don't know about you, Gail, but for me, it also inspires a la practice in the elbow and the elbow in practice. We play a part in it, right? It's not, we have no control, but it doesn't mean we don't have influence. So I was looking at it yesterday, as a matter of fact, because I'm a little plastic obsessive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just makes me so sad
mm-hmm.
that we make the choices we make as human beings because, you know, people argue, well, yeah, it's human. Is that we know it's human, for God's sake. look at what we're doing. Of course we're affecting the weather. And so it's not that we can't turn that concern into behavior changes that that let us know we're doing the best we can. I can't mm-hmm. make it be different, but I can do everything I can to influence.
Exactly.
And that's the best I can do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that applies across the board, you know, not just to weather, but to everything.
To everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, to everything. Because what ego turns into sadness and then anger and bitterness, we can allow to be what it is. Sensitivity and caring and kindness and compassion, and we can bring that to everything in our lives as mm-hmm. we continue to practice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were there when we knocked.
Yes.
Thanks, Gail.
Hey, go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Gail. It's so true, right, Sherry, that place of, it's always a razor's edge to be able to see what is perpetrated by ego and to know that that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, I think I could not unmute Gail, so hang on one second.
There she is. Here she's being quiet.
Right, but I can't find her on my queue, so I can't unmute her.
Can't mute her.
I can't mute her.
Mm. Don't confuse her. She'll try to unmute herself. Come back.
There we go. I did.
See,
I
there
just
they
did.
Are again. All right, good.
well, it's always that place which is such a coup for ego if we go with, oh my God, I don't have the ability to make the difference, versus yeah. that place of caring or just registering what ego can do and then choosing not to be identified with that which can do that and to go beyond that and actually contribute or do what it is that I choose to do, which I wish other people would do. Right.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, in our country right now, it's masks, I suppose, all around the world. There's that. But, you know, I can't make everybody understand that we would all be better off if everybody would wear a mask. I can't do anything about that, but I can wear a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is really that. That's simple and that concrete. I can care.
Yeah.
I don't have to wait for everybody else to care. I can yeah. care.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. I'm Miss Diane in Colorado.
Hello, Diane.
Hi.
What you seeing?
That... This is such a huge topic, and I've been all over the map because there are so many things to work on accepting. What I was seeing this morning was the challenge that I have in accepting my daughter as she is, as she does remote school and is a teenager, and all my feelings about what she should be doing. And all the raucous and persistent conversations about how that's not okay and how there's a problem and, you know, the usual litany of stuff. And
well, Diane,
can I
ask you about that? Because
sure.
It seems to me like those kinds of situations are our best opportunity to see that it's not accepting her, it's accepting my reaction to her. I don't have to accept her.
Yes, and I made a recording about just that.
Oh, good. Oh,
for
very,
the
very,
call
very good.
About accepting that the voices were going to yammer on about this and
yes.
that I had an opportunity not to go along with that.
Very good. God, how relaxing for both of you, huh?
Yeah, I hope so. So this is one that's going to be in my ear quite a bit. And Yeah, so that was really good to see this morning, to say, all right, well, I'm going to talk about this because I know it's driving me crazy. And getting that clarity and opportunity to do that in a way that can help us both, as you say.
Yeah, well, it's the biggest thing. It's what we need to get about life. Nothing outside my head is a problem. Nothing. All problems only ever exist inside my head. If I can get that, then I know where I want to be focusing. I want to end the suffering, the tyranny, the misery, the agony, where it actually exists inside my head.
Yes. And I've been enjoying this month making, I think this was something we talked about in one of the Sunday workshops, but I have a lot of resistance to doing a number of things that help myself. So I've made recordings.
Oh, of course.
For me to listen to while I'm doing those things, whether it's physical therapy or whatever else. And that's been really helpful to have running in the background to kind of drown out any other voices that might be wanting to have an opinion expressed.
That's what we're doing, isn't it? We recognize that negative voice in the background that is trying to get into the foreground, and we just redirect our attention to where we want our attention to be. Yeah, I don't want to do that. Because as you're noticing, you know, there's the daughter. But say the daughter, you know, goes and visits. We're in a pandemic. So, say, goes to a room. And it's actually peaceful and quiet where you are, right? That doesn't make ego happy. It just moves to the next thing. Either a conversation about how she was or how she's going to be or how you are. Or money,
what she's doing in her room,
or what she's doing in her room. But there are all those other things, right?
And lots of opportunities.
Just endless. So again, getting to see that they all live in one place only. That really helps us to close in on where we want to focus. Yeah,
if it's not this, it's that. And if it's not that, it's the other thing. And if it's not the other thing, then look over here.
That's right.
You know, that's
and that's what we're catching on to, right? And then, and because once we catch on to that, we can drop it. We don't have to go to all those places with it. We see it's thorough. Once we understand the principle, we don't need example after example after example, right? And you are really catching on to the principle. So, all right. Well, take good care.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. It's the wisdom of no escape, Sherry. At least it has been in my practice that currently my obsessive focus almost is no second thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way to exit the prison of conditioned mind, because it's the only thing that makes the actual difference.
Yes. Yes. And I'm guessing in that you have something that you'd redirect attention to. There's some place you'd rather be than with that second thought.
Right. Yes. Well, and it's
simply like what that is.
Yes, in some way, but it's almost at a sensation level that the attention is redirected to underneath the thought, or the space between the thoughts.
There you go, the space between the thought.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And if a person were to take up that practice, it's just the realizing, wow, there was that thought. I'm not going with the second thought. I want to redirect attention to this here now, to the space between the thought. Just that process has a person in the space between the thoughts.
Absolutely. And it's an incredibly peaceful place. And at least over the course of the time that I've been practicing with it, the facility to actually not have a second thought arise increases. It really is a training, and it really does change how that thinking process and the attention on the thinking process unfolds.
Yes. So my teacher would say, the mind will accept whatever is real to it. And what you're practicing making real to the mind is we don't do second thoughts. We do this other thing instead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the mind goes, oh, okay, we'll do this other thing instead.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is what you're experiencing. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Mm. Oh, hi. Yeah. This is Nancy.
Well, hello, Nancy.
Yeah, it's such a great conversation, and I'm, you know, reminded of what it reminds me of is a while, you know, I've been in practice for a while, and things have evolved with, like, recording and listening and all that. And I remember at the beginning, you know, the norm was having the negative thoughts come through, having the, you know, having ego yammer, and, you know, the world is an unfriendly place because, and that kind of thing. And I remember this when the switch happened, when I was recording and listening, or recording one time, where it was like, wait a minute, now the norm is being, you know, listening to the friendliness and the love of the universe rather than, you know, and when that negative voice comes up, it's just like an alarm bell goes off. And it's still that way. And I always marvel at that because there was such a switch. And you understand what I'm saying?
Well, and of course, you were around long enough to remember when the training became people. We can't just spend the rest of our lives reporting on the negativity.
Yes.
Right? We all know what the negative voices in the head say because the same system is saying it to all of us. So we got to get our attention off of that. So what is really true? And, of course, as you say, with recording what is true, you know, what is beautiful, what we love, what's exciting, what we're happy about, what all of that, then that's what begins to be the norm for us, right? Because it is. All along, what is so, was so much bigger than that little tiny of conditioned mind, but we couldn't see it, right? Because we were listening to that all the time. So we thought that was the whole world. And then there's this shift, right, to, oh, my gosh, the world is huge and it's beautiful.
And there's so much love and, you know, in the world. And then to have that, you know, that ego come up was just kind of an intrusion. And it still is.
Kind of jarring. You know,
jarring. And what I also, you know, with practice, it's like learning to refocus my attention. And because when I am there, when that ego does take control, the world is not a friendly place. I find myself being sarcastic and just kind of, you know, ho-hum. And then that, you know, the idea of refocusing attention to something just to the present moment.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just totally switches the whole thing. So
yes,
I love that. There's one other thing I wanted to say that came up with that was the refocusing. Oh, and just choosing for myself, all these practice opportunities that are here to go from one to the next to the next.
Yes,
that to me is
in the. In the email class this morning, I was writing to somebody who said, basically, okay, I can see it. And then once we see it, the trick is to keep seeing it, right? So, okay, I get it. It's possible to redirect attention. Love is here all the time. Okay, but I keep getting pulled off into the dark hole of ego mind, right? And so what I was saying to this person is, you know, I only have one person's experience to offer. And that is, if you want to stay here, you need to choose things that keep you here. You can't spend all your time feeding there and hope to be here. So what is the alternative? Well, all these practice opportunities. Now, what I was also saying was, I'm so enthusiastic about all these practice offerings because that's how I stay here, right? I love it that other people stay here with me, but even if nobody else did, I need to. So I'm going to keep doing all this practice stuff. So, yes, very, very wise to get it that yeah, in fact, we do need all these supports. Yeah,
right.
That's not a flaw in our nature, right? That is simply how it is.
That's exactly it. And just one other thing, you know, with all the election and everything, I was tuned to the news to see who was going to win and that kind of thing. And then afterwards, I noticed that I was kind of going through withdrawal because I still want to check in and see, you know, what's going on. But what I know is that pulling back from that is what I want to do because I can see how I get drug into it. And it's not a pleasant world out there right now.
Well, except, Nancy, somebody said to me yesterday that for the first time they saw an article in a major newspaper about a polar bear.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I said, oh, like the old days when we used to have news stories about happy things and good things and uplifting things and all of that. So we do, as with choosing practice, we need to pick and choose the world we live in carefully, don't we? Because ego is just drawn like a magnet to anything that is negative.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you for this.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Go happy.
You too.
Thanks, Nancy. Sherry, let's squeeze in one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Jennifer from Whidbey Island, Washington.
Hello, Jennifer. What
are
you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing it kind of seems like the world is, the universe is not friendly, but it's not unfriendly. It's just kind of there.
Hmm.
I mean, I totally am into, you know, finding all the ways I'm supported and friendly and things feel friendly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where I want to be focused. It just seems like the whole thing's neutral and I'm focusing one way or another way. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Well, I think that my best encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer, you're right in that we have to settle ourselves into what is so.
Yeah.
And so what I would offer you as a place to look is if you get to spend any time around very small children.
Oh yeah.
Or animals.
Mm-hmm.
Or like that.
Yeah.
That what we have a chance to see is that what's there before anything else happens is the place that folks are talking about.
Okay.
That our experience of that, what we feel in the presence of that is love, is happiness.
Okay.
Yeah, and that we leave that then to get to go into ego's dualistic assessment.
Right.
And say, well, yeah, but that's not true of the tree that's dying, or well, what about all the children who are starving to death?
Noodle, noodle, noodle.
Yes, off into ego's dualistic world for evidence of how what is inherently so is also part of ego's negative assessment.
Ooh, I'm gonna listen and look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, along with that, for me, of course, I was not raised with any kind of religion at all. My parents weren't anti-religion; they just I didn't even know about it, right? Until I got fairly old, like 13, and yet I was fascinated by the lives of the saints. As soon as I found out there were these things called saints, I was fascinated by them. And what were they doing? You know, because even in other religions, you know, people who, in Hinduism, who do these bizarre things, or in Buddhism, you know, these guys who would sit on rocks and meditate until their behinds turned into bloody swords. What in the hell were these people doing? I wanted to know what that was. And slowly to have this suspicion that, boy, they were going after something. They were going after something that I wanted to go after too. Because it couldn't all, they weren't doing it because they were seeking misery. They were seeking what is beyond misery. What is behind misery.
Yeah, that's always called to me too. And your very first book I picked up, of course, was That Which You Are Seeking Is Causing You to Seek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. There it is. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Ashwini?
Thanks, Jennifer. I was just saying, what a wonderful way to end this month's focus and begin the next one. And here's our assignment for today. Do your daily practice. Come up with a special way to express appreciation for the practitioner. Remember, appreciation is not related to performance. We're practicing unconditional love and acceptance.
Love it.
Love it. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy.
Celebrate happy.